Lisa's Coffee Shop. We're going to have so much fun today. Today we are going to be talking about a new book that Simply His has actually just put out. And these wonderful ladies here in studio with me today are actually the authors. Right? So let's take a look at this cover. How cool is this cover?
Isn't that cute? Isn't that adorable?
It's called Misfits. Let me read you the subtitle because the subtitle is actually very important. And you guys can put this up on the screen for me. It's called Learning from Our Inner Outcast and How It Can Empower Us to Find Our Destiny. Yes. That's pretty crazy. So who is a misfit? What are you guys meaning by a misfit? And what's Rudolph doing on your cover? I mean, really.
As for who's a misfit, in a nutshell, we're all misfits. If we're honest, we realize how unique we are and how we don't fit in. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of that is that God has made everybody unique, and everybody has unique interests and talents mm-hmm. and abilities and a unique destiny and calling. And that's ultimately the thrust of the book, but there's a lot more to the book than that. Now, as for the cover, I'll probably have Donna talk about the cover.
So Rudolph is on the cover. It's yes. a generic antique Rudolph because we didn't want to tie it too much to Montgomery Ward. Although right. we do talk a lot in the book about the character of Rudolph, uh-huh. the beginning, what he stood for, and where his character went, and also the deeper spiritual and psychological implications of his character.
Right.
So you have this hero who saves Christmas for a nose, right? But that's the way that the world worked in 1964. But today, with all of the movements, all the yep. political stances, all of the psychology that has to really bolster everything that we say in media, right? Rudolph has to be reanalyzed in the light of a modern touch. Now, here's what makes him so grand and so beautiful of a character. When you actually look at why he's a hero, why? When so many things from 1964 have fallen to the wayside right. and have never been picked up again. Why does Rudolph, not just because he's tied to an annual holiday.
Right.
He is a hero for grace.
Yes.
Because when we look at a story like Rudolph, oh man, I could talk all day. I'm going to try to hit this quickly. When he was born with a birth defect, what we would consider right. being born with a birth defect, yep. our current society yep. would say, how dare you put that baby down?
Right.
The parents didn't love him. And it, by the way, if you're thinking that I'm making this up, go back and watch
oh,
it again.
Yeah. I know.
His own parents are like, well, I hope he grows out of it. And then Santa comes in and dad's like, don't worry, he'll grow out of it, Santa. I hope to make your sleigh one day. And Santa's like, well, I hope so. I mean, they're yeah. just so mean to this little baby that did nothing but be born. Then he goes and his first exit out into the world, he gets kicked out of the reindeer games and exiled from the community
yep.
because
right.
of
yep.
what? A light bulb on his face. This is not a nonconformity. He, and right. by the way, Sam the Snowman calls him a nonconformist at one point. I'm like, he doesn't have a choice.
Right. It's not something he chose.
Psychologically, yeah. what we do with that story today, if it had been made today, nobody questions it because it was 1964 and it's just so cute. But if it would have been made today, it would have never hit the printers. I mean, it would have never been released on video. Nobody would have ever wanted to watch it. They would have said, that's the most politically incorrect, yeah. psychologically damaging. I cannot believe the message that you just put out there. Now, why am I doing this? Do I love him for his simplicity? I absolutely do. Do I think yeah. that cute caricatures from 1964 need to be endlessly and exhaustively overanalyzed in today's culture? No, I love Rudolph for his simplicity. But
right.
the world does that now. And so if I'm responding to something that is really popular that the world does, I have to look at this and say, why do we still love this guy? Why do we still love his story?
Right.
Why do we not look at this and go, oh my gosh, cancel culture, get him out of there. We are not endorsing the idea of an entire community putting him down for mm-hmm. a birth defect. It's because he's a hero for grace.
Yeah.
And he is, when you look at the very, very ending of the story, when you look at the end, right? It's one of those but God moments. When you look at the
yeah.
end, he gets there and he saves Christmas and he doesn't say, wait a second, you're all cheering for me, but where were you
right.
when I was a baby and I was a young child
yeah.
being exiled from the community and being completely, like, this is a bunch of horse doo-doo. I'm not your friends. We're not friends. That's what psychologically we want to do with his character if the story had been written today. Right. Never mind the fact that if it had been written today, I mean, this deer is going to need some serious therapy. Right. He ends up with Clarice, who probably is going to end up dumping him the second that he's no longer popular, because that's, you know, because he had the expert landing and that's why she thought he was cute or whatever. You've got all these little elements. When he stands up on the very, very end and decides, I'm not going to punish these people for what they did to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to mention it. I'm not even going to tell King Holiday.
Because it wasn't even a thought in his head.
He just stands up and goes, let's enjoy Christmas together.
Yeah.
Now, if you take the Jesus quality and you see Santa and the reindeer games and all of these people, and you put that together kind of like an organized church parallel, you have somebody that at the end of their story says, I'm not even going to be owned by the abuse of my past.
Yep.
I'm not even going to be owned by the misfit title. I'm going to rise above it, and you're not even going to know I rose above it. We're not going to have this conversation where now you owe me an apology and I go get therapy. I'm going to own grace. And when he does that, it lifts the entire story up to the point that since 1964, we don't have a bigger, grander character, except perhaps Ebenezer, for the same reason.
Yeah. So, Nita, I know you had a lot to do with the actual idea for this book. How did you come up with that, and why did you feel it was important to kind of get this message out there?
Well, like, we have just a few minutes to talk, so I'll try to make this concise. When I was young, a little child, and first saw this program, I totally and immediately identified with Rudolph and with the Little Hermie character and with Charlie in the Box and several other characters for different reasons, which we kind of line out in the book. If you read the book, you'll see that it's deeper than just a cartoon.
Right.
This is a really, really cool book, and it will help you discover a little intricacies about yourself. Having said that, identifying with Rudolph because, first of all, he was an animal character, and I really identified with those animals because they're less assuming. They're not, they're just animals. You know, they don't judge you for anything. They're just cutesy, and they love you, and they're easy to relate to. And I understand that because of what we do out at the ranch with these little horses. So I was talking to my husband one day about Rudolph and how he's kind of a misfit, and how I always felt like a misfit. And the more we talked about that, the more he felt like somewhat of a misfit. And the more we talked, it's like, no, because we're all misfits.
Yeah.
We all have something in our character that's misfitness.
Right.
Or as you say it, misfitness. And so we just kind of thought this would be a fun, festive way to take a deeper look into the insides of our inner outcast.
Yeah.
And how can we use that inner outcast to be our whole perfect, you know, whatever God has called us to do.
Because he doesn't make mistakes.
No, he don't. And sometimes, as Donna pointed out at one of our Skywatch episodes the other day, was that those flaws, God allows those flaws to be there.
Yes.
And and those flaws sometimes can help build the character that is going to help us reach people that someone else cannot reach.
Absolutely.
And I got to tell you, that took me a lifetime to kind of really see it for myself because I'm always that girl that says, I compared myself. I'll never be like that.
Right.
And you know what? I won't. I'll never. And it's because I'm not supposed to. So when I finally figured out it's okay to just be who I am and let God make the best of me, and I'm still learning. I mean, I'm still learning.
It's a process.
And I don't think I'm ever going to stop learning until he takes me home.
Yeah.
That means I'm alive.
Yeah. Well, when you do stop learning, you stop growing. And when you stop growing, you stop being useful, honestly.
Yeah.
But that's where in the book we talk about the scripture, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You know, as long as you have breath in your lungs, God is working on you as long as you're letting him work on you. And this idea, you know, that you hid and you are comparing yourselves, we talk about that in the book too. Because women are particularly bad about isolating themselves. We constantly don't think we measure up, and we compare ourselves to other people in different ways all the time. And as a result, we isolate, we end up being stagnant a lot of times because we aren't doing what we feel we're called to do because we're isolating, often because of fear or this feeling that you're a misfit. You know, all of this is a kind of bondage that occurs within the mind. It's sometimes a result of things that have happened to us in our lives that our own psychology has just adapted as reasons to feel, you know, that you can't move forward. But also sometimes it's a lie from the devil. Either way, it's a type of spiritual warfare that we also talk about in the book. Yep. So there are toys on the cover, and it's happy and it's fun, and there's Rudolph and it looks Christmassy, but we talk about spiritual warfare.
Yes, we do.
We talk about the bondage of the mind and releasing yourself to actually find your calling and your destiny in the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff that it starts with comparing yourself to these toys and saying, this toy is kind of like this. And you might be this way because you might do the same things that this toy does. Yeah. But then it moves into how do you actually get the fear to take a back seat to your willingness to step out and find your calling and your sense of understanding that calling? How do you get beyond the fear and into the point where you step into everything you were meant to be and ultimately step off of the island of misfit toys?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this... Yeah, love it.
This book itself is a misfit because it's very cutesy and cartoony, but when you start reading inside of it, it's deep and intricate and very helpful.
So it has a lot of theology in this book, guys, and you don't want to miss out on reading this. So what is the message that you were really wanting to get across to people? Because it does have such a fun, happy cover. What is the main purpose of this book?
First of all, being a Christian in today's world is very, very, very difficult. It's almost just by existing we're aggravating somebody.
Yep.
The Bible itself is even being seen as hate speech. The sermon that recognizes and says, I will not tolerate sin in the presence of God is becoming hate speech. We are becoming misfits like never before. Right. Now, misfit could be anyone, Christian or otherwise, anybody who doesn't feel like they fit in.
Right.
And this is a word that the Lord gave me. I've shared it before, but I'll share it again. In my own personal testimony, there was a moment in a movie theater where I was telling the Lord in a prayer in my head at the moment while I'm just bawling over my popcorn, I don't fit the mold. I don't fit the mold.
Right.
You're asking me to go and to preach and to do this TV thing. I don't fit the mold.
Right.
And he said, I don't want you to fit the mold. Some people don't fit the mold. Some people break it.
Yes.
And when that came to me, I was like, okay, I get it. I'm a freak and I'm supposed to be. So I'm just going to do freak. Now, the problem with doing freak is that you have to understand when you go into it, persecution's a big thing.
Absolutely.
It's going to happen. If you decide I'm just going to be myself and I'm going to do it afraid and I'm going to do it whether I feel comfortable with it, you are heaping upon yourself all kinds of scrutiny. And I've had a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah.
And when you give yourself over to something, whether that be philanthropy, humanitarianism, some kind of good work, charity, whatever you give yourself over to, you do put yourself out there. And if you believe enough in what you're doing, you're going to do it anyway. No matter how uncomfortable it makes you, no matter how many people come against you, I've had to walk that. Yeah. You guys know I'm still walking that.
Yeah.
And so being so vulnerable makes your misfit stronger. And then other people that are looking at you, they're going, dude, if she can do it, I can do it. Or he.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, so, it goes back to one of the first episodes that we talk about that's the acronym for the I in his is inspired. And it's God breathed. And it's exactly what you're talking about right now on how we have to do it even though it's hard because it's inspired. It's God breathed. You have to do it.
Right. There's something fun about this particular movie, The Rankin and Bass, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer of 1964, that I have to tell you about. And it says a lot, not about society in 1964, but about society, period. People are very sensitive to one particular thing, and we should be. At the ending of the 1964 movie, when it first came out and it aired, everybody loved it. I don't want to get into what it means to hold a certain TV share, but it means how many televisions are tuned into a certain program. They owned it from the beginning. Everybody loved this little flashlight-nosed deer. But when they first aired that, at the very end of the movie, people, and Allie said it the other day, you didn't have Facebook or, you know, such and such dot com, iprotest.com. There was no way to get a hold of them unless you actually went out of your way and looked up the name and address of the people who were behind the filming of that and send them a letter. And that is what hundreds and hundreds of people did.
Yep.
They were so mad at the original ending that they sent in letters from all across the states and demanded that the people in the television studio fly out, all of the people, everybody that was involved in the puppet masters, the film editors from Tokyo, they had to fly everybody out and refilm this ending. Why? Because originally, Rudolph made the promise that we're going to come back for you misfit toys on the island of misfit toys, and he didn't make good on that promise. What did that tell people?
Yeah.
The first original audience, They were told the promise is going to be made to the misfits. Those weird little toys, the scooter for Jimmy, the
Dolly for Sue.
It told all of those little toys, mm-hmm. you're going to be promised to be loved and to be found a home, and then we are going to forget all about you. Yeah. And boy, was the uprising big. It was so big that they had to make a big to-do to fix it. What does that say about us? It says we love the misfits. Yes, it says the weirder you are, the weirder your calling is, the weirder that thing that tugs at your heart is, the more important it is. Yeah. Does Michael Heiser or not say, when you find something in the Bible that's weird, that's when it becomes important.
Right. Yes.
There's a serious message behind why that film originally had to be refilmed. I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah, and people relate to the misfits.
They do.
You know, and that's because deep inside each of us, we kind of feel like misfits. Even when we think we fit in, it's usually because a handful of people have had the courage to step out and say, this is who I am. And then someone else goes, hey, yeah, me too. And then now you have a collective of people who all individually thought they were misfits, but they've realized they have this misfitness in common. One thing I will say, though, and we do discuss this in the book as well, there's so much emphasis in our society on individualism.
Yeah.
And it's very easy, it's a trap that people fall into, to mistake God's unique creation in you as an individual for sin. And it's very easy for entire lifestyles to embrace sin. And it's very easy to mistake what God has given you as a sin, because when a sin has tempted you and you fall privy to that, it becomes something that you embrace and it feels innate. But God won't call you to be something that doesn't align with Scripture.
Right.
And so the example that we gave in the book is theft. If you have somebody who's very good at stealing and they, you know, they have really sneaky body language and they can slip things into their pockets and they can creep in and out of places undetected. Someone might say, well, God naturally made that person a thief. No, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. It's the most clear message. It's four words long. Thou shalt not steal.
Right.
So the point is, it's a very simple message. God is not going to call you to be something that goes against his word. So when we're saying, you know, seek out your individuality, and when we're saying, look for the thing that God made you to be, and like using the word freak, I know that you're talking about circus freaks, kind of in its older context, but the word has different meanings now. What we're talking about is being true to that innate person God created you to be, and finding where the calling of that person comes into play in God's kingdom as it aligns with Scripture.
Absolutely.
Well, we have to take a very quick break and show you how you can get your copy of this amazing book. We'll be right back.
With the holiday season here, it's crucial that we all remember the true reason for the season. Now you can uncover valuable truths about Christ's kingdom while awaiting his imminent return. Skywatch TV is proud to announce the largest holiday giveaway of the year, the Misfits Grand Giveaway. With so many in the body of Christ experiencing seasons of loneliness, insecurity, doubts about their God-given purpose, or feel like out-of-place misfits in the kingdom of God, the time for change is now. In their new book, Misfits, the ladies of Simply His delve into the vital spiritual realities and theological principles that demonstrate how these discouraging sentiments are not unique to you, but may in fact be indicators that you're on the verge of a spiritual breakthrough. In Misfits, you will learn surprisingly simple but life-changing biblical information that will empower you to discover your untapped potential, to find your God-ordained calling, and to embrace your destiny. Also included in this incredible holiday giveaway is Donna Howell's thrilling sequel to the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol, entitled Ebenezer, where she answers what was left unaddressed at the end of the Dickens novel, such as, whatever becomes of Tiny Tim? And what happens when people from all over London witness the change in Ebenezer and learn that the motivation behind all of his transformation began with what they believed to be ghostly visitations? Ebenezer is an instant holiday classic. You'll also receive the never-before-released collection, Christmas Classics, a beautiful volume of 9 full books with 14 stories total, all celebrating Christmas. These classic narratives will warm your heart and inspire you this holiday season, featuring titles in their entirety like A Christmas Carol, The Shepherd's Story, The Shepherd Who Didn't Go, The Gift of the Magi, The Other Wise Man, and several more. but we're just getting started. You'll also receive the new Best of Defender Publishing ebook collection on DataDisc. Now, for the first time ever, this must-have assortment features 110 of the most information-packed best-selling books in Defender history. These full-length books are in popular ebook formats, so you can read them on Kindle, EPUB, PDF, and other handheld electronic devices. Give this collection as the ultimate gift to somebody you know this holiday season, or take them with you wherever you go. Valued at over $1,500 all by itself. You'll also receive directly from the Skywatch TV Archive the complete Teens Rock Collection on DVD. Join Joe Horn and his talented group of young panelists as they discuss important issues facing today's modern youth culture. Featuring bonus interviews with musicians Alicia and Whitney as they perform their original songs, So Much More, and Try Kneeling. And finally, included in the Misfits Grand Giveaway, Joe Horn's new CD, This Time Around, an anthology over 20 years in the making, featuring the entire Horn family performing hit singles like Long Drive. Talk to Jesus.
So let your heart light on fire for the one true Messiah. Talk to Jesus. Yeah.
This Time Around.
This Time Around. Yeah. It's not about my spotted record, crying about the man I want to be.
And so many more. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $1,600. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. This is the largest giveaway of the year, just in time for the holiday gift-giving season, and is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Misfits Grand Giveaway, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
We are continuing our discussion on the book Misfits. So, Allie, what makes the characters in Rudolph so relatable?
Well, the toys have all been deemed some kind of misfit, and they're on this island. And the king of the island is King Moonracer, and he's a lion, and he is there to protect them and help them find homes where toys can love them and then send them there so that they can have basically a second chance at life.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of parallels between that, you know, and the whole idea of salvation and, and Jesus and things like that. So we did talk about that as well. But for example, a couple of these toys that are very relatable to people, there's the dolly for Sue. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody even understands what's wrong with this doll. She's just this cute little doll. She's smiling half the time. What did she do so wrong that she ends up on the island of misfit toys? And at one point in time, Rankin, who was one of the producers, he teasingly said that she had been abandoned. But the bottom line is there's nothing wrong with this girl.
Right.
And yet here she is on the misfit island. Why? So in our parallel, we talk about we do this to ourselves. Other people are like, why are you isolating yourself? There's nothing wrong with you. Come and play with us. We like you. You know, and you're, no, I'm good. I'm over here. Because one is the safest number you can ever do, right?
Yes.
And that's why. And so we hide behind these walls of protection. And another toy on the island is the nesting dolls. Everybody has seen nesting dolls, but they often don't know what they are. They're the kind of toy where two pieces, it comes apart and an identical little doll is inside. And that comes apart and another one, another one. These are like the shells that we hide within.
Yes.
And somewhere deep down inside, there's the tiny one. That's the one that doesn't come into two with another one inside. That's the little core of us.
Yeah.
And I think that for a lot of grown women, this is some version of our little girl self that we started hiding behind shells of all these other things because we didn't feel like the real us was presentable, and so we hid it. And we don't always hide it because we're fake. It's not always I'm a fake person and these are my outer
shells.
Sometimes
it's protection.
Exactly. It's this protective thing, or it's the illusion that we're successful, or the illusion that we've got it together, the illusion that we can do what we've got and that we're strong. We can do what's in front of us to do, and it's not really hard for us. And inside, we're dying inside because it's so stinking hard to do. You know, so each of these toys has a way that if we really look at the way this toy is designed and we kind of make a modern-day comparison to the psychology of some people and the kinds of pitfalls and the kinds of hang-ups that each and every one of us experience, we start realizing that even more than those people back in 1964 who protested the ending mm-hmm. of this movie, we still relate to each of these little toys. And yet there is redemption for us as individuals, but there's also redemption for us to find our way back into the body of believers and find our destiny, yeah. find our calling. Yeah. But it really takes a lot of courage to be honest enough to step out and say, I'm damaged, I'm broken, I got problems, but here I am and I'm ready to jump right. in. And I reflect a lot about my own personal hang-ups that I developed kind of through my childhood and in my teen years. When I was 16, modeling schools were really, you know, kind of a trend. And I went to modeling school and they always told me right. there that I was too fat. I needed to lose weight. And that really became a huge hang-up for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting to a point in my life where I was able to step out and say, I am secure enough to admit my insecurities.
Yeah. Right.
That was a landmark moment in my life yeah, when I could real. Walk in and say, I am so insecure right now because blah, blah, blah happened at work or whatever thing has, or I don't feel qualified to do yeah. this. To be able to shed that outer shell that goes, no, I got this together. Watch me. I got this. And to be able to just come in and say, I don't think I can, you guys. I'm scared. I feel weird. I don't feel prepared. I mean, you know, getting to a point where you're secure enough to admit your insecurities is a huge milestone, I think, for a lot of women, because we're not allowed to say, hey, I don't feel like I have it together. Yeah. We have to be superwoman. We have to yep. be supermom. We're all trying to wear a cape 24/7.
Yep.
And yeah. It's this moment
much.
Of bravery where we can step out and say, I am so weak right now. Mm-hmm. And I need other people to help me. I need to admit that this is going on. And then all of a sudden, other women start going,
hey,
me too.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's that transparency that brings us closer together as friends, as a family, mm-hmm. as the social body of Christ, as the operational and ministerial body of Christ. It comes into every aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
Once we can say, hey, I'm not perfect right. and I don't have it all together.
Yeah, that's very true. And I know that all of us on this set have felt that, and it's yes. why we wanted to even do this show in the first place
exactly.
is because we know that there's other women out there that feel the same thing that we do and that have some of the same issues that we do and the insecurities and, oh, I'm not super mom. I'm failing horribly at this mom thing. But then you guys have been able to help me, or I've come to mom, hey mom, what do I do about this situation? I've come to some of the ladies in the audience and said, hey, what do I do with my kid? They're driving me nuts. What do I do? Help.
Yes, but I've also come to you for suggestions and advice
yeah.
on things in my life. And I think that has given us a closer bond.
Absolutely.
And it's taught us to trust one another. And I think that's something out there that we don't have a lot of is trust.
Yep.
Trust has been so broken. Where do you go? Who do you trust? And I'm telling you right now, the mm-hmm. mentoring
yes.
spirit
yeah.
behind what God has placed within us as a mother mm-hmm. needs to flourish. And I think that if Satan can squelch in that,
yeah.
then he will squelch so much of what you can do. I'm just looking at you girls because I know the camaraderie that you folks have down there at the warehouse, and we have it at the ranch too.
And here's the funny thing. When women get together, and actually not just women, when anybody comes together and says, hey, I have this problem, like you're mm-hmm. talking about your kids, usually someone else goes, oh, no, you're not alone in that.
Right.
That happens to me too.
Right.
We isolate. We
yep.
think we're alone.
Yep.
It's yep. happening to everybody.
It yeah. is.
Yep. Yeah.
It is, for sure. Unfortunately, though, we are completely out of time. You do not want to miss next week, though, because we'll be talking about our kids and how do we navigate when our kids feel like they are a misfit. You don't want to miss it.
That's a good one.
See you next week.